In the name of the greatest idea and organization the world has ever known, I greet you, my brothers and sisters of the white race. I am most pleased and excited to be with you today for our premiere episode of our internet radio program, In Clausen We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. Barring unforeseen developments, I will be with you each week at the same time to inform you, to inspire you, and galvanize you to do your duty for your beloved white race, to motivate you to be a soldier in the most noble and heroic cause in the history of this world, the salvation, redemption, and resurrection of our white race. At this time, our gifted and devoted team of creators are working on enabling this show to take phone calls. There is no guarantee that this will happen, but I believe that if successful, this will indeed be in our interests. One of the many things that makes the World Church of the Creator the finest organization in the world is that we always promote freely our creed to others and can rebut every argument our momentary opponents offer. I myself have heard probably every argument the racial integrationist crowd has, and every argument has a clear and overwhelming answer. Further, of course, I would be happy to take calls from our white racial loyalist comrades who would wish to call with their thoughts and their questions. There are so many questions that can potentially be asked, and once again, each question has an answer. We creators know that in any debate we are destined to be the winner, because our creed is based on nature's eternal laws. Nature does not lie. Nature is never wrong. Nature's laws are the same today as they were yesterday and will be the same forever. Nature says to look out for your own kind. Nature says that what benefits your own kind is right, and what hurts your own kind is wrong. All moral judgments not based on nature's laws are in error. Any doctrine, for example, that has the supposition that all men are created equal is false, because nature shows it overwhelmingly to be false. Any doctrine, for example, that urges humility among man is false, because in nature humility is met with the destruction of the organism, and in fact the destruction of the species if its individual members are fallacious enough to embrace such an attitude. Any doctrine that says to love your enemies or turn the other cheek is false, because such a doctrine can in no way preserve your own kind in the face of hostile threats. Nature's law, indeed, is the first law. Before there was ever a moral code written down by armchair philosophers, there was the inexorable decree of nature. Before there was ever a statute or constitution, there was the inexorable decree of nature. Instead of trying to twist or overcome nature with philosophies or laws that contradict it, it behooves us to instead base our moral code and philosophy on nature's laws. This is summarized in the golden rule of our church. What is good for the white race is the highest virtue. What is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin. All true morals and worthwhile philosophies revolve around this golden rule. On every issue that presents itself in this multifaceted world, we must ask ourselves a simple question. Does this or that choice accrue to the benefit of our white race? It is clear that many of the choices made today by the vast majority of white people sadly do not accrue to the benefit of their own kind, their white race. Instead, the choices oftentimes are diametrically opposed to the best interests of white people as a whole, and when it comes to the United States government, almost all of the policies that it makes into law that have any relation to race are policies absolutely opposed to our continued existence as a people. Whether it be immigration, integration, affirmative action, so-called welfare, or its further condoning of the genocide of white people through interracial marriage, so-called, its policies are like a dagger jabbing into the chest of our white people. What makes matters worse is that many white people are overwhelmingly oblivious to the importance of these matters. Not only are they important, in fact, they are critical. They are infinitely more important than campaign finance reform, or saving Social Security, or even fighting the war on terrorism. In fact, by choosing to ignore the best interests of white people in America, the American government has made terrorism within America happen. The non-whites on our streets are actually a form of terrorism. The nigger savage who drags a white woman into an alley and rapes her is a terrorist. And the American government simply slaps the nigger terrorist on the wrists and asks you and I to instead worry about Afghan terrorists. I guarantee you that the nigger population in America, for example, has caused far, far more death and destruction in this country than the terrorists did on September 11th. Where, however, is the crocodile tears for all the white victims, the white women, the white children, the white older people afraid to come out of their homes? Our formerly pristine white culture dragged into the mud. While I will have far more to speak about these issues in the weeks of programming ahead, for now I want all of you to remember the following phrase to speak from the rooftops everywhere. We want a white America because we want to stop non-white terrorism against our people. I believe that with the mass hatred of terrorists in America, that by putting our cause in such a way to the people, they will more easily understand and hence embrace our truth. The people are very receptive right now to explaining why these events happened on September 11th. And we, of course, must reject in totality the party line offered by the United States Reed Jewish government. This is a government that made September 11th inevitable through its support of the bandit state of Israel. Through subsidizing Israeli terrorism, they have caused terrorism to be brought to America. Now we know that the Jew media will not preach this truth. We know that the Jew media and the Jew government are in cahoots with one another, and that they are very desperate and very determined to sidetrack the American people from reality. They want to divert your attention to Afghanistan. We must remember, however, the simple fact that the more enemies the Jews have, the more foes that the Jewish occupational government has in Washington, D.C., the better. We do not want to, in other words, make the world safe for Jewish domination. They may say that they want to make the world safe for democracy, but democracy is and always has been a Jewish program of divide and conquer. Democracy essentially means that white people are canceling each other out at the polls and enabling the other races to achieve power at their own expense. Democracy means that the politician who lies the most or lies the best becomes your leader. We believe that such a system is bad. We believe the evidence is overwhelming that democracy has not been in the interests of white people. And we certainly do not want to make the world safe for Jewish democracy, Jewish power. It is interesting right now, in fact, the government is talking about having an international war on terrorism, and implying very strongly that there might be or there will be another attack upon Iraq, or maybe some other countries. Sudan has been mentioned. Also, Jordan's been mentioned, or Syria certainly has been mentioned, etc. Well, they never talk, though, about the Israeli terrorists. They don't talk about the Mossad, which is the Israeli terrorist spy organization that has been responsible for probably hundreds if not thousands of deaths. They have assassinated Palestinian leaders, Arab leaders, routinely. They have caused, of course, the Palestinians to react against their aggression. And then the Jews turn around and say that it is the Palestinians that are the terrorists. Well, of course, we understand that the Arabs, that the Palestinians are not white people. Let us make that very clear. And most of you listening to my words know that full well, though we might have some new listeners. And we'll be talking about that shortly, what I need you to do in order to promote this program. to those not initiated into our cause. We know full well that the Arabs are not white, that the Palestinians are not white, overwhelmingly anyway. But at the same time, once again, if we can provide more enemies to the Jew world order, it is in our interest to do so. If there can be other individuals opposing, whatever their race may be, Jewish supremacy, that is good. So let us not make the mistake of wanting to go hell-bent to attack the ragheads in the Middle East. While it is true we want the non-whites out of America and out of Europe, out of all of our lands, our former ancestral lands, at the same time, as far as the battle goes in the Middle East, we of course want the Jews to lose. And we have no problem at all if the Palestinian people wish to resist through whatever means they desire against their Jew domineers or their Jew rulers. So let that be clear. The bottom line, of course, for the World Church of the Creator is that our people survive and that we expand and that we advance. Now, some people out there may find it different, of course, to have a creed based on surviving or based on advancing or expanding as a race. Well, it is not so unusual, actually, or so odd. Certainly, there is a tribe in this world that has had that creed for thousands of years, and that is the Jews. The Jews believe very strongly that what is good for the Jews is the highest virtue, and what is bad for the Jews is the ultimate sin. And because they have had that attitude, they have succeeded in obtaining incredible wealth, incredible political power, incredible influence in this world, to the point where one in the media cannot even voice anything in opposition to the Jews for fear of being labeled or smeared or worse. When's the last time you heard a politician, for example, say that the Jews have too much power in America? It's been a long time. It's been many years since we've heard such a thing. When's the last time you had a situation where someone on Dateline or someone on ABC News or whatever news program you can imagine came on there and said, well, there are Israeli terrorists on the loose and let's go ahead and deal with these Israeli terrorists? No. In fact, it's even understood in the minds of the public that terrorist is synonymous with Middle Easterner, but not the Jew. Or terrorist, I should say, is synonymous with Arab, but not the Jew. Why is that? Of course, what is implied, if someone were to ask the question of these media clowns, ask them directly, well, how come we never talk about the Israeli terrorists? The implication, they would say, or they would elaborate upon, is that, well, Israel is not a terrorist nation. And yet they are. Right now, in Israel, they are moving tanks into the West Bank, I believe. They've certainly moved tanks into Palestinian areas. They have blown up homes. They have shot kids in the streets, children in the streets. They have assassinated Palestinian and other Arab leaders. And yet that is not terrorism. It's very interesting to note how they define terrorism. Basically, to the Jews, a terrorist is someone who opposes Jewish interests through violence. And yet they can oppose white interests through violence or Arab interests through violence, and that is okay. Well, this is just a sampling of the many things we're going to be talking about on In Clausen We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. It is not my wish or intent to have each show be on only one topic, because many of these topics are interrelated. There's no question about that. Foreign policy is related to what this government does, for example, obviously. When you wish to talk about the Jews, there are so many aspects of their parasitical existence that it is difficult to separate each aspect and put it in a vacuum on one particular show. So what we will do instead is talk about current issues. We will talk about what, of course, the World Church of the Creator believes in. In fact, let me say at this time, the five fundamental beliefs of creativity. For those of you out there who are creators, who are believers in creativity, whether a member of the church or not, it behooves you to have these five fundamental beliefs memorized. It is very important to have these memorized so that any time, anywhere, someone asks you about what creativity is all about, you can have these five fundamental beliefs ready to discuss, to certainly read to the individual, repeat to the individual, so that that individual can have a complete, or at least a rudimentary understanding of creativity, the five fundamental beliefs of creativity. Based on the eternal laws of nature, history, logic, and common sense, we creators believe, 1, that our race is our religion, 2, that the white race is nature's finest, 3, that racial loyalty is the greatest of all honors, and racial treason is the worst of all crimes, 4, that what is good for the white race is the highest virtue, and what is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin. 5. That the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion, creativity, is the only salvation for the white race. Now, let us take these in turn. 1. We believe that our race is our religion. Yes, we believe that it makes far more sense to have a religion based on race, on our people, than have a religion based on the Netherland, or on ideas that are completely unsubstantiated and unproven. Now, this does go against the grain of society, in which there are billions of individuals, if you wish to count the non-whites as individuals or as human beings, which is certainly debatable, who happen to believe that you can only have a religion, or only a valid religion, if you believe in God, or if you believe in gods, and your God happens to be this name, or your gods happen to be of that name. Well, we believe that actually their religions are invalid, and that they have belief systems that are completely devoid of factual basis. Somewhere along the line, sadly enough, it became acceptable to have a religion that is completely superstitious, completely irrational, completely without any facts to support it. We don't believe that. We believe that religion should be fact-based, not just faith-based. And in fact, I have a saying that certainly feel free to use in your conversations with others, that faith without fact is folly. That is a good summation of our belief along those lines. Our race is our religion, not Jesus Christ, not a supernatural, because a supernatural is a contradiction in terms. There is no super nature. There's nothing above nature. Second fundamental belief. We believe the white race is nature's finest. All history demonstrates this. All history shows that white people have accomplished far more than the other races put together. That if you look, for example, at the black race of Africa, they accomplished almost nothing until white people showed them what to do. Until white people brought them writing and taught them how to write, they had no written language. Until white people showed them how to invent a wheel, they never did. They never domesticated an animal. They never invented a plow or a hoe or any kind of farm equipment. They carried things on their heads rather than create a cart. Amazing, but true. That's just the blacks. If you look at the Orientals, many of their achievements are dubious as far as their origin. Many of their achievements actually came from white people, and white people taught them how to do things, and they copied the rest. We all know, for example, that after World War II, America went into Japan and basically taught them how to create things, how to create automobiles, how to create other things, computers, etc. And yet white people invented all of those things. Computers, automobiles, radios, television sets, etc. So the Orientals are good at copying things. They're good at mimicking things. But they are not originators of worthwhile culture and civilization. The white race has accomplished, in any objective sense, far more than the other races combined. Merely look into an encyclopedia and you realize that white people have accomplished 90 to 99% of all that which is described. Now, the naysayers out there will say that this is because you held the other races down. Well, let's look at that for a moment. When white people arrived in Africa or encountered blacks in Africa, they had nothing. They had no written language. They had not domesticated an animal. They had not invented a wheel. They had not invented any kind of farm equipment, any kind of plow, like I said earlier. They had homes made out of dung or mud at best. They were still throwing spears as their ancestors had for thousands of years. They had no advancement. They were living at a Stone Age level. Now, ask your friendly liberal this question. If we held them down, how did they suffer? How were they held down? For example, I should put it a little bit better. If we really held them down, how did they have less after encountering white people than before encountering white people? In other words, what was taken from them? Nothing. We didn't take their civilization from them because they had no civilization. We didn't ruin their cities because they had no cities. They were essentially in the mud when white people started to enforce their will upon them. And if anything, the blacks were advanced by dealing with white people. White people helped them up from the mud. For example, in this country, the blacks have the highest standard of living than anywhere else in the world. And under apartheid South Africa, they had the second highest standard of living than anywhere else in the world. It is not that white people, in other words, held down the blacks. It's that we have helped them raise their standards all across the board. Where there was ignorance, we brought intelligence. Where we brought some learning. Where there was sickness, we brought health. Where there was anarchy, we brought order. We helped. And I say we loosely, but we as white people have done nothing but help the blacks of this world. And in fact, they should be thanking us for helping them. Instead of there being talk about reparations for slavery, it is they who owe us. It is they who have destroyed our communities. It is they who have caused hell in the public schools and have driven down the standards in the public schools. It is they who have raped and murdered their way across this country. They owe us, not the other way around. The third fundamental belief of creativity. We believe that racial loyalty is the greatest of all honors, and racial treason is the worst of all crimes. If you're like me, when you went to grade school or high school, you were taught that Benedict Arnold was a bad man because he betrayed America. Now, that's all fine and dandy. But what about the traitors to white people that are running around freely today? If it is bad to be a traitor to America, how can it not also be bad, and in fact, more bad, worse, to be a traitor to your white race? We believe that racial loyalty, of course, is an honor. That it is great and right and just to be loyal to your own kind for the same reason that it is great and just to be loyal to your family, for example. What kind of person would be disloyal to their parents or seek to betray their brother or sister or their son or daughter? Not many. And those individuals that would partake in such a thing would be universally condemned and derided. We believe that similarly, individuals who betray their white race should be derided and condemned. And that there is nothing worse, in fact, than a race traitor. Now the question becomes, what about those white people right now who are betraying their race? The answer is simple. They will have to repent for their actions. They will have to turn their thinking around and quit subsidizing, aiding, and supporting the other races at their own race's expense. Obviously, when we come to power in this world, when we have achieved the power, the victory that we seek, they better have repented. They better have turned their act around and become honorable white people once again. Because we will not have any tolerance for traitors, just as we did not have tolerance or have not had tolerance for those who have betrayed America. Many times in this country's history, individuals were tried, convicted, and executed for treason to the United States. And we will have the same punishment for those who betray, who consciously betray their white people. And certainly that would include those who are running around right now engaging in bestiality with the other races. Those white women who are having half-primate children. Those white men who are choosing to choose a urine-colored bride from the Orient, or choosing to partake in mestizo entertainment. Those individuals, of course, are filthy, disgusting individuals. Now, we hope that they can turn their act around. We are tolerant in that regard, but we will not be tolerant once we have achieved our aims unless they have fully repented for their actions. The fourth fundamental belief, we believe that what is good for the white race is the highest virtue and what is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin. Yes, indeed. See, we believe that the foundation of any creed, if it is worthwhile at all, must be the advancement, the survival, expansion, and advancement of its own kind. We don't choose to believe that what is good for the Jews is the highest virtue, or what is good for the nigger is the highest virtue, but what is good for the white race. Now that makes absolute sense, just like everything else in creativity. If we are going to place any value in something in this world, we should place it in our own people. Our own people are worth saving. There are individuals out there who would say, well, all I care about is myself. Well, we disagree with that type of selfishness. That type of selfishness causes the destruction of our own kind. And once again, as I stated earlier, the survival of one's own kind is the highest law of nature. Every creature out there and in the wild, so to speak, looks out for its own. You don't see, for example, crows aiding cardinals. You don't see them interbreeding. You see each race, each species, each subspecies looking out for its own. Now, what is bad for the white race is the ultimate sin. That's the second part of the fourth fundamental belief. That, of course, is related to the third fundamental belief about racial treason. But the fourth fundamental belief talks in general. What it's getting at in general is that on every issue that we come up against or encounter in our lives, we should look at whether it's good for our people or bad for our people. There are some things that are neutral, it is true. There are some things like, well, watching a television show or reading a book that might be neutral, so to speak. May not be good for the white race per se, it might not be bad per se. But when it comes to things like feeding the blacks of Africa, that's obviously bad for the white race. Educating the non-whites, that's bad for the white race. Welcoming non-whites into your neighborhood, that's bad for the white race. Why? Because it is against our interests. We don't want more non-whites in the world. There are billions of them, as there are, because of white subsidies, I might add. And we know that the other races are our biological enemies. That all species, in fact, all mammals have biological enemies, and we do too, namely the lower races. Bears are not our biological enemies. Sharks are not our biological enemies. Dogs are not our biological enemies. Blacks, Orientals, Jews, anyone who's non-white is our biological, natural enemy. At this time, I will take a short break. I will be back very soon. We're back. Had a short little break. We are recording this onto an audio cassette as well, so that this can be produced to our members, our supporters, our adherents around the world who do not have the opportunity to listen to this on the internet. Let me say at this point, or in fact, let's first cover the fifth fundamental belief of creativity. We believe that the one and only true and revolutionary white racial religion, creativity, is the only salvation for the white race. Now, I know there are many individuals listening to me now who are not members of the church, and certainly we can appreciate that. What matters most of all is that you believe in creativity, the religion, our white racial religion, and promote it to others. But let me say this. There is an idea among some in the white racial movement that organizations are interchangeable somehow. That a person can be a member of the church just as easily as be a member of the National Alliance or various clan organizations or the Aryan Nations and so forth. Sometimes I've even, in fact, just recently I had a fellow that I appreciated his audacity in some ways, or his, I think that's probably the best word I can think of offhand. But he asked me, he said, well, why don't you join the National Alliance and help the National Alliance? Well, I don't wish to join the National Alliance because creativity is better. The World Church of the Creator is the best organization that there is. There is no doubt in my mind that the World Church of the Creator is the best and maybe even the only hope in this white racial struggle that we are embarking upon. Now, that doesn't mean I don't respect individuals that believe in their own organization. Certainly I believed, I have been involved in other organizations in the past, years ago. It took me three organizations to realize that creativity and the Church of the Creator was the best. And so I have no disrespect at all for those who are right now choosing the National Alliance path or other organization path. But that doesn't mean that I must change my mind about what I believe is the only solution to the racial problems that we are confronting, and that is creativity and the organizational embodiment of creativity, the World Church of the Creator. It is my hope, in fact, that in time all organizations will join the World Church of the Creator. I believe it is, in fact, inevitable that one day we will have one, if not maybe a handful, of organizations rather than the hundreds that we have right now. We must become, rather than simply nitpick at the enemy, or I guess pinprick, I should say, at the enemy, let us become a mighty battering ram. Let all those who believe in the heroic and holy message of creativity become members of the World Church of the Creator, so that we can organize en masse, so that we can truly have an organization that is international in scope, and have the best chance of securing our people's birthright. There are many well-meaning comrades out there who believe that simply believing is enough, or believe in lone wolf activism or something of this nature. But the fact of the matter is that white people are far more able to confront the Jewish monster united and organized than simply every man for himself. This every man for himself individualistic idea is bad, is a problem, is stymieing us from achieving the victory that we all seek. Like I say, I was at one time a member of different organizations. I started out with my own organization. In fact, I Gosh, I've been in one organization or another since I was 12 years old. When I was 12 years old, I founded my own organization called the New Reich. And, of course, that was inspired and influenced by my reading of Mein Kampf when I was 12. I might have been 13, actually, when I founded the New Reich. But in any case, that was the history of that. Then eventually we had an organization called the White Guard. Now, these were organizations while I was still a kid, basically. And the White Guard later became the American White Supremacist Party. And then the American White Supremacist Party became defunct. And then there later was the National Socialist White Americans Party. And finally, in April of 1995, or as we like to call it now, 22AC, the 22nd year of creativity, I decided to join with what I realized and believed was the best hope for white people in this world, the Church of the Creator, and it became the World Church of the Creator. And the World Church of the Creator is permanent. The World Church of the Creator will endure all attacks, all attempts to derail it, and in fact has endured all the previous attacks that we have encountered. As many of you know, we've been sued repeatedly. We've had individuals try to crash and break up our meetings, and yet we remain very much intact, perhaps stronger than ever. I would say so, in fact, stronger than ever, more determined than ever, more respected than ever. There are very few individuals out there who do not appreciate, honor, and respect the World Church of the Creator, and I am very proud of that. Now, let me turn to another issue, of course, since this is called In Clausen We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. Ben Clausen. Ben Clausen was the greatest man who ever lived because he gave us, finally, after thousands of years of recorded history, a religion for white people of its own. Finally, in creativity, we have a religion in which white people can survive and thrive for the next million years. A religion that is uncompromising in its belief in white people, and uncompromising once again in its golden rule of doing that which is best for the white race. We have our own holy books, Nature's Eternal Religion and the White Man's Bible. Nature's Eternal Religion is the greatest book ever written in history. And if you have not read Nature's Eternal Religion, you are missing out. If you have not read Nature's Eternal Religion, you are basically like driving a car with only 3 wheels, or maybe only 2 wheels, and you are having a real hard time. Nature's Eternal Religion sets forth the whole panorama of our white racial religion, and how it is superior to all other religions, all other ideologies, and is truly the only salvation for our white race. Nature of Eternal Religion, when I read that book in old year 1990, or the 17th year of creativity, I was immediately taken with it. It was powerful. I remember reading it so long that my eyes were hurting. In the evening once, I remember how fulfilling it was, how fascinating it was. There are many topics covered in Nature of Eternal Religion. Certainly the Jewish question is covered, and also Christianity is covered with it. Christianity being an offshoot of the Jewish religion, and deliberately designed, specifically designed, to emasculate and destroy our white people. First, it was designed for the Roman Empire to be destroyed. And we know from history that shortly after embracing Christianity, the Roman Empire fell in 476 AD. We know that today, in today's world, those individuals who are most against the white racial loyalist cause are Christian individuals. Over and over again, we hear the Christians say that God created everyone, that God loves everyone, that Jesus died for everyone, etc. Well, if there isn't a Jesus, if that is a myth, actually, and it is, and the God that these individuals are praying to does not exist, but that actually there is no overseer or guy with a wand in the heavens that is determining relations or events on earth, their whole argument is taken away. And I've asked them before, well, assuming there is no God, how can you oppose our cause? And they're usually speechless. They don't know what to say, because their whole value system is based on the notion that there is a God and that this God loves everyone. You can see, then, how Christianity is a problem. Christian ministers right now are teaching that as long as the spouse is a good Christian, it is okay to interbreed with the other races. Such is sickness. Such is ill. Such is a problem. The Christian religion teaches that the Jews are God's chosen, that they are wonderful, wonderful, and that basically we should go ahead and subsidize the Jews, we should support the Jews, we should benefit the Jews, we should remember that God smiled upon them, etc., and that they can basically do no wrong. And even the Old Testament, over and over again, we have the situation where God is helping the Jews against their enemies. And there are people today who believe that Israel is God's holy place, the Holy Land, as they like to call it. Well, take away the belief that there is a Holy Land in the lousy land of Palestine and Israel. Take away the notion that the Jews are anything special, except perhaps a very special parasite. A very dangerous parasite that has wrought incredible damage upon this world. And, once again, the argument against our cause is eroded, is replaced, is removed. Nature of Eternal Religion makes all this very clear, and I would urge you to read that book. Read that book first, in fact. Oftentimes people order a copy of the White Man's Bible. It's a wonderful book as well. But Nature of Eternal Religion is even better. It lays the foundation, the framework, for the White Man's Bible and all of the proceeding books. The White Man's Bible certainly obtained this as well. The White Man's Bible goes into many aspects of health as well. That's something that's added in the White Man's Bible. Ben Clausen, in his wisdom, realized that if he was going to create a religion for white people, it would have to encompass all aspects of existence. And health is a very important aspect of existence. There are white people right now who are 100 pounds overweight, or more. There are white people right now who are coughing their guts out and their lungs out because of addiction to nicotine, tobacco, etc. That is a problem. Now, we know, of course, that there are white racial comrades, and we embrace them, of course. There's no question about that. Let there be no question. But I would much rather see my brothers and sisters alive and well than visit them in a hospital. I do not want to see you, my brother or sister out there, who is fighting with me for a whiter and brighter world, to not make it to our great victory parade. So take care of your health. Consider the wisdom in the White Man's Bible. Consider salubrious living, for example. Try it. Partake in it. If you fail, you fail, but at least you try. And I believe that everyone can succeed if they have the will, if they have the belief in what they're doing. It all begins with belief, my brothers and sisters. Every journey starts with a single step. Every revolution starts with a spark of idea, a flickering flame. So it is with creativity. When Ben Clausen wrote Nature's Eternal Religion in 1973, by himself, essentially, after he had quit the John Birch Society and quit, of course, George Wallace, because Wallace turned out to be a phony, and all this is talked about in Against the Evil Tide, one of his books, as well as Trials, Tribulations, and Triumphs. There might be some in there as well. After Ben Clausen made these changes and rejected Christianity publicly and incurred the ire of the right-wingers, he was pretty much alone. He had a few people that went with him, but not many. And he founded creativity essentially from nothingness. And yet now creativity is across the world. Creativity is being translated into numerous languages. Creativity's flag is universally known. Maybe not to some of the mud people, but we don't care about the mud people. Many white people have heard of the World Church of the Creator and have heard of Reverend Matt Hale, and I'm very happy about this, and so should you be. And so, here was one man who took it upon himself to give the white race something it never had before, its own religion. And that he was so successful is obvious. 6 years ago, when I joined full force, throwing my hat into the ring, supporting the Church of the Creator, I knew, of course, or I shouldn't say of course, but I knew that I had to do my duty for Ben Clausen, for the religion he founded. The time I had a poster on my wall of Ben Clausen that I had obtained earlier when the church headquarters was in Ottawa, North Carolina. I had had correspondence with people at headquarters. But before before June of 1995, I had been on a different path. I had chosen the political path. Well, now, in June of 1995, I realized I had to give my all to creativity. I had to make sure that Ben Clausen's work did not go in vain, that he did not found this wonderful religion, this wonderful church for us in vain, and that though he may have been dead for 2 years, though he had passed, his work must continue and I must do my duty. And I've had wonderful comrades such as yourself, many of you listening right now, who joined the fight and who were already part of the fight and who assisted me and fought with me to be where we are today. My point of all this discussion is that one man can make a difference. Ben Clausen made a difference. I believe I've made a difference. And you can make a difference as well. Don't accept this notion that just because you're 15 or you're 18 or you're 12 or what have you, or you're 80, that you can't do something for your white race. You can do so much for your white race. Truly, the sky is the limit as to what you can do for the white race. You can spread literature. You can pass out literature. You can talk to people in the streets. You can have public meetings. You can have street demonstrations. You can be on the internet and spread the message. You can found businesses and bring in money to support your efforts. You can invent things and make it publicly known that you have done so as a creator. You can do good works in this society. You can, for example, help people that need your help, that need help out there, white people that have looked to the government for help but only to be turned away. You can help those people. You can write books for the white race and on the white race, such as Arthur Kemp did, as a matter of fact, his History of the White Race book. He has fulfilled one of the messages that Ben Clausen gave us in Nature's Eternal Religion, where Ben Clausen says that one day a history of the white race will need to be written, removing the Jewish bias from the history books in a new book of truth. And Arthur Kemp did this. He saw this and he did this. He sat down and spent countless hours on the research producing this wonderful book called History of the White Race, which I would highly recommend that you read. We have it available for $28. It's well worth it. Wonderful drawings or wonderful paintings inside of it, or pictures inside of it, graphs, etc., that detail our wondrous history, how we became so great, the incredible saga of white people in this world. Nature Eternal Religion, of course, is always available. $10 for a copy. Postage is included in all the prices. Certainly, we appreciate your support, but most importantly, obtain the tools of your education, of the enlightenment of others. White people will embrace our message if we give them our effort. White people are good people. We have some bad apples in our tree, there's no question about it. But our people are essentially good. They're essentially intelligent. They're essentially perceptive. They have simply had their reasoning clouded by false creeds and by a controlled mass media, by the Jews. The Jews and the media have clouded their perceptions, but we can uncloud those perceptions. We can challenge the brainwashing of our people, the brain pollution of our people. We must, if we are going to survive. It's as simple as this. White people can only survive if they want to survive. White people are not going to, we're not going to have them kick and scream in order to survive. That's simply not going to work. It's not going to happen. If the non-whites destroy us violently, we will, of course, no longer exist. If white people want to be extinguished from the face of the earth, they will be. And likewise, though, if we wish to turn this around, if we are willing to endure whatever sacrifice there may be to turn this around, we will turn it around. There must be no doubt in your mind that we can win this war. There is no doubt in my mind. As I lead you, my brother and sister, in our heroic cause, there has never been a day in which I doubted that we could win. We know we can win, because we know we must. And we know history, that white people have faced many threats before. White people faced the threat of the Mongols. White people faced the threat of the Moors. White people faced the threat of the Indians in this country. White people won each time. White people rallied, irregardless of nationality or religion, against the non-white enemy. When the Indians came forth to attack our settlements in this country, the red niggers, as some people like to call the Indians, that's what the Texas Rangers used to call them, the red niggers, when the red niggers assaulted our settlements in the West, or anywhere for that matter, white people circled those wagons. They didn't ask each other, well, what's your politics, what's your religion, where did you come from, what language do you speak, or what's your native language? They realized that they had a bond of blood that was most important. It was the bond of blood that saved and won this continent for the white man. And it will be the bond of blood that redeems it for the white race and drives these mud races off of our shores, out of this land. I've talked substantially about America on this show, this episode. But let me, of course, mention that our fight is an international, worldwide fight. And we have good comrades in France, in Germany, in Russia, in South Africa, in Australia, all over the world. Countries, many countries I haven't named as well, who are creators, who are dedicated as much as any on this earth to a wider and brighter world. Many times they have really been outnumbered and really had to be superlative creators. For example, we have creators in South Africa, which is obviously in a very worse situation than the United States. We have creators in African countries, all black countries throughout Africa. We have members in the Central African Republic, for example, who are descendants of white pioneers who went to that land. They are keeping their chin up, and so must we American creators, and so must creators everywhere. Let's look at it this way. If we can have creators who have a spring to their step in South Africa, then by golly, we can have that everywhere. It reminds me of our brothers and sisters behind bars. We get so many letters from good people behind bars. People who may have made a mistake in the past, but who are ready to rectify that in the future and the present. Creators who are spreading the word like wildfire in the prison system. Creators who make $10 a month and yet donate $5 of it to the World Church of the Creator. Yes, it should make you feel proud to have such comrades in our ranks. I am always touched by many of their letters. Their fealty is very evident. Not all of them, but many of them are fine, proud creators. We are shortly, or will be shortly, out of time on this episode, this premiere episode of White Revolution. Much has been covered, in fact, so much that I hope that our shows are not too repetitious. But if they are, then so be it, because repetition certainly is the mother of skill. The more you repeat something, the more you hear something, the more you will know it, the more you will be prepared to go forth into the world to preach it to all. We can, we must, and indeed we will win this struggle, my brothers and sisters. We owe it to our children. We owe it to their children. We owe it to generations yet born. We have every right to survive on this earth. We will wipe away the shame of today. We will sweep the Jews out with the rest of the trash. We will have a world for our own. We will have a land of our own in which we can realize our own destiny. This is a noble cause. This is a righteous cause. This is the greatest cause the world has known. And I am honored to lead it. I am honored to lead this effort. I am honored to lead as Pontifex Maximus in the position that Ben Clausen created. I am honored to step into his shoes. And I believe, certainly, we should all give our thanks, our tribute, to the memory of Ben Clausen. And this is why we call this show, In Clausen We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. He has done so much for us. Do your part for your white race. He didn't ask for anything in return, Ben Clausen. Only that you would go forth and do your duty. And I do the likewise. This is not a battle for any personal ego. This is not a battle for any accolades. This is a battle so that we may be free, have true freedom, racial freedom, a decent and just society. Now, there will be no more violent crime in the streets, where our culture will be resuscitated, the beauty that it was, has been so degraded today. We dream of a day in which we can walk any street, day or night, without fear. We dream of the day when there be no more dope being pushed to our children. We dream of the day when we will no longer have to compete with Mexican invaders for jobs. We dream of the day when this will be an idyllic, peaceful, wonderful, intelligent, creative land. And towards that endeavor, I beckon you, I urge you, I urge you and beckon you, inspire you, I hope, to do your duty. Join me again next week, same time, same place, for another episode of In Clausen We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. There will be much more to talk about. We'll talk about some news events. We'll talk about the latest going-ons with the church. And let us together win this racial holy war. Rahala!